Blog Talk Radio.
Make sure this is right. All right, so we got someone from the 216 area code who would like to give a testimony. Let me fix this here. All right, someone from the 216 area code who would like to give a testimony. All right, 216 area code, what's your name and where you calling from?
Shayar Nafash, Alan Burns from Cleveland, Ohio, sax player.
Okay, how you doing, Brother Nafash? One moment. Let me make sure you're good on the sound. Let me make sure the sound is coming through so that everyone can hear it. One moment. Just one moment. There we go. All right. So I should be able to hear you all now, so let me just do a quick check on Patreon to make sure you all can hear nice and clearly. Okay, I'm just going to do a quick check on Patreon, and then after that, we'll get into the calls. All right, we should be good now, okay? We should be great. Let me get to the calls that we have here. Starting with the 216 area code, again, Brother Nafash. You can go ahead and give your testimony.
Shalom, Elder. Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, sir.
You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. All right, my brother, what would you like to give? Are you giving a testimony of the pandemic, or you want to talk about the academy?
The pandemic. I would talk about the pandemic.
All
when
right.
When all that came down and everything, I was like getting ready to do my CD release with the other musician that you baptized, Brian. You know, so we did that. And then all Hades broke loose. And everybody was doing the Twilight Zone thing with the mask in the car and everything like that, you know. And everybody started getting scared. But thank God I was in the right church and with the right leadership to know that this is a bunch of false flags that was going on, you know. And people were like schizophrenic, paranoid out there, you know. And I was like Elder Akar riding around in the car by myself on the highway.
I know
episode of the Twilight Zone or something, but I wouldn't change anything I did during that pandemic. But it's one thing, I'm in a music union, and they wouldn't let me play or do anything or travel or anything like that unless I took the procedure. You know, I couldn't leave the country. You know, somebody asked me to go to Switzerland. And I couldn't leave, and then some other things. And they wanted me to wear a mask, and I said, "How can I play a mask, wear a mask, and play a saxophone at the same time?" So it's crazy, you know. But the Most High God, He blessed, and we were able to continue doing the music for the church, which we are doing now, and we're in the process of practicing almost every day, except the Sabbath. For the upcoming Passover, which we were practicing last night, us and the musicians. So it's going to be a beautiful Passover with the music and everything, and all of us going to be together. That'd be great. But sadly, a lot of people left this world, and I end up having to play that certain song many more times than I have ever had done in my life. And a matter of fact, I got to do another one for my aunt that was 90 years old. And she decided she wanted to take the procedure all of a sudden.
I'm sorry to hear that. My condolences. Let me ask this: being a musician, were there What were some of the, I guess you would say, the responses, or what was the atmosphere among some of the other musicians that you had the opportunity to work with when this all went down? Did they have a different perspective from the, you know, the mainstream media, or were they pretty much on board with everything that was, you know, being promoted and pushed through mainstream media?
The majority of them was listening. They was listening to the music of the media and stuff, and following the Yellow Brick Road, listening to those guys instead of. But the people, the musicians in our church, they were following what leadership was saying. So they weren't listening. Some of them, they wanted it. They just felt like I told Elder Carr one time when I had something I had to do with the Temptations, and the lead singer, he wouldn't take the shot, so they got somebody else, you know, to take his place. You know, so the people weren't compromised, but I've seen a lot of people losing their lives, you know, some prominent, some not so prominent. That I know in the music business, when they were obligated to do the procedure, and then they proceeded to take that 7-day voyage.
Well, let me ask you this. In your area in particular, you're in Cleveland, or you're in Ohio, right?
Right.
In your particular area, have you seen any changes, either socially, personally, politically, or what have you, since the pandemic?
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally shut down completely. A lot of these places where you could play the venues, they shut down, and some of them are trying to open back up. The venues is stopped, and the only way you could do something is really if you're going to compromise and do the procedure for you to be allowed to go to venues or even play, you know. But a lot of play establishments, it just came to a halt, really.
And are you saying those restrictions were in at that time, or are you saying those restrictions are still in as we speak?
Yes, they're still in as we speak.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Still in. A lot of places closed down. I'm telling you. I know that for sure. I talked to the musicians, and it's like Death Valley days out here as far as the music is concerned, playing anywhere. I don't see anything. People just doing jam sessions and stuff like that, and they making a prerequisite that you take the shot at sometimes. In some places, you know, no. You know, the little places.
Yeah.
Hole in the wall. Those kind of places.
Yeah, so some are a little bit more lenient than others, obviously.
Yeah, but the ones with the big kind of thing, where the big money or anything like that, they really want you to prove that you you know, you did these things. As far as they have these things with the union, as far as that's where you get the money, with the contracts for the union for playing for music really here. But with their celebrations, their hella days, they won't allow me to come unless I proved that I had that certain procedure. So I said, you can keep your hella day. I'll stay at home.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Naposh, for your testimony. I'm assuming you're in this academy, and we're going to see you this Sunday, Con.
Yes, Con. It's very good, and I really liked what you're doing with the Hebrew there, and the news also. Hello to my other brothers too, and you keep up the good work, and we're gonna do this to the end.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. All right. Thank you, Brother Naposh, for your call. We'll be seeing you this Sunday, brother. Stay in good health. Stay in good spirits, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you at Passover.
Okay. Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Shabbat Shalom. All right. There you have it, Brother Naposh, with his testimony of COVID or the pandemic. All right. Next, we have the 708 area code. 708, what's your name and where you're calling from? Again, we got the 708 area code. What's your name and where you're calling from? All right, we'll come back to you. All right. In the meantime, if there's any questions that you guys had or anything you would like to bring forward, Okay, I'm going to go through the chat to see if you guys have any questions. I think I've seen maybe one earlier. Yeah, someone says, I was wondering, does anyone know how to get in contact for the Passover in March? I heard it was getting close to being full, and I was just trying to see if they have more room. The best way to figure out what's going on with Passover is to get in contact with a local body. That's going to be the best way to figure out the latest news concerning Passover. All right. If you can, Ted, just send an email to gocccsouth@yahoo.com. Again, that's gocccsouth@yahoo.com, and I'll make sure that, depending on where you are, I'll forward your contact information to your local area. Okay? All right. I think I've seen a question or two earlier. Let me see if we have any. Let me see if I can find it here. Okay. The way they have the chat set up is very archaic. All right. One moment. All right. Someone asked a question. Why are angels still falling from heaven? That's a very good question. Right. And the simplest answer to that question is this, right? The simplest answer to your question is this. Let me pull this up very quickly. Am I right? Very, very simple answer to your question. Going to the book of Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. All right, in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 1, in the Bible. All right. And then after that, we got the 470 area code, right? All right. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse number 9. The thing that have been is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. That's the very short and sweet answer to your question. Okay? The thing that have been is the thing that shall be. The same way it was, there was rebellion in ancient times before the flood, that same exact type of rebellion is going on today. Right? Both in the physical realm, the physical world amongst men, and also in the spiritual realm. This is why Christ tells us this. All right? One last scripture, and then we'll jump back to the calls with the 470 area code. Going to the book of Matthew chapter 24 very quickly, and verse number 37, right? Matthew 24 and 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What is Christ saying? Again, there's nothing new under the sun. Same type of things that were going on since the time of Noah or during the time of Noah are the same exact things that will be taking place right before the return of Christ. So it says, then shall two be in the, it says here, verse number 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, the same time in which the angels came to the earth. So Christ is comparing the last days, the time right before he returns, to the days before the flood, right? So as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Right? So hopefully that answers your question. All right. Going back to Blog Talk, the 470 area code. All right. It looks like they dropped off. All right. 470. If you have a testimony, you can call back in. All right. In the meantime, I'm going to check back here on Patreon to see if we have any other questions here. All right. See if we have any other questions. All right, let's see what other questions we have here. All right, again, we got to tussle with this chat. I mean, it's very, very archaic. You have to keep refreshing to see what's going on here. You lose track of what's the latest comments. Okay. All right. Again, if anyone would like to give a testimony, the calls are open, 515-605-9327. Okay. All right. We have a question here. Elder, what have you noticed that has changed since the pandemic? Well, aside from, you know, there's many things that are going on and that have been going on since the pandemic that really we've been charting since the time of the pandemic until this very time. We've had the responsibility of keeping a watch, as the Bible says, watch as well as pray. Well, we've had the responsibility of watching and keeping an eye on some of the things that have been transpiring since the days of the pandemic all the way until this very hour, right? So just on the social level, you know, depending on where you go and operate, you know, nothing is monolithic. But obviously with some of the people, you notice that people are very short. People are very impatient. Okay. You see a lack of just simple things, a lack in customer service, but you can probably say that that's been on the down, that's been on the downside really since we've returned to the States. And it's just been getting worse and worse as time has gone on. So those are just the simple social things that you see. It seems like common sense, certain levels of common sense have left the earth. Okay. Those are some of the things you notice socially. Okay. Obviously, financially, we see that, you know, for the majority of our people, the financial struggle has been pretty much there since the beginning of our existence here in America. But in this current time, you're finding it that, you know, again, there's a lot of financial struggles taking place within our communities. Homelessness, right? People being evicted out of their homes, can't pay their bills, okay? Lost their jobs during the pandemic. So you're starting to see some of the, you know, we're seeing the early stages of the fallout based upon that. And we're coupling that with, again, as we've been speaking of, the immigration, the borders being open for people to come over. And it seems as if these vacancies, right, that are being these vacancies within homes, apartment buildings, or what have you, it seems like they are conveniently being opened up for people that are coming over to occupy. So we're seeing that transpire, okay? The forms of assistance that would normally be there for our sisters in our communities, those things are starting to dry up and starting to be pulled back slowly but surely, which again, we believe that this is being done to now open things up for people that are now coming over from these other countries. Okay. And that within itself is a whole nother thing that's taking place, that it has been taking place and transpiring since the pandemic. Okay. A whole nother snowfall of an avalanche of issues that have been piled upon our people and within our communities for the past 3 or 4 years. And it's like a powder keg just ready to blow any second. So those are just a few things we've been noticing. I've been noticing since the pandemic. Obviously, there's much more things that are taking place, but that's the short and sweet of it. Okay? All right. I'll check again, see if anyone is... if anyone has any questions. All right. Who is Ham today? That is a very good question. All right. Basically, Ham is who Ham has always been. What do I mean by that? Okay, one moment. All right, so who is Ham today? Ham is basically who he always been, right? When you go into the Bible, it identifies the families of Ham. And these are families that predominantly inhabited the areas of north, leading into northeast Africa. Okay, Egyptians, right? Libyans, Ethiopians. Okay? And then you have the Canaanites who inhabited the land of Israel. Now, as far as those nations that are more easily identified in modern times, right? Like the Egyptians, like the Libyans, like the Ethiopians, those nations still inhabit parts of North Africa, Northeast Africa, okay, they're still in those regions. However, through time, like any nation, they have been what? They've been pushed into different areas of Africa, okay? Some have been pushed down further east into Africa, okay? Some have been pushed into sub-Saharan Africa. But for the most part, those nations are still the same, okay? When you're talking about When I say the Libyans and the Egyptians, I'm not talking about the Arabs who are currently there occupying Egypt and Libya. I'm talking about what they or who they would call the Nubians, okay, the black, dark-skinned Egyptians. We've seen many of them while we were living in that area of the earth. The Arab Egyptians are very, very hateful and racist towards those who are of the original Egyptian stock or those who they perceive to be of the Hamitic stock. You still see them when you travel to that side of the earth, okay? So there's many nations that are or would be labeled under Ham today, okay? Let me try to pull up some examples here, okay? When you talk about the Nilotic people, okay, the people of the Nile Valley, right? They are families of Ham. Okay? One moment. Let me try to pull something up to try to give you some, try to give you just a visual example. All right, one moment. All right, let me pull this up so you can see it. All right, one moment. All right, one moment. All right, there we go. Okay, so let's go here. This is Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is going to give us some insight on the Nilotic peoples. Okay, one moment. Let me pull it up. All right, there we go. All right. Let me make sure you can see it. Okay, so Nilotic people. All right, the Nilotic people are indigenous to the Nile Valley who speak Nilotic languages. They inhabit, so these are some of the areas that they inhabit. They inhabit South Sudan, Sudan, Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, Burundi, and some inhabit as well Tanzania, okay? So it's not to say that every individual person within these areas are Hamitic. However, there is a presence of these Hamitic peoples within these particular lands. Again, These are lands such as South Sudan, Sudan, Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Rwanda, Burundi, and Tanzania. Among these are the Barun-speaking peoples, Teso people, also known as Eteso or people of Teso, Karo people, Luo people, Ateker people, some of these names, the Kalenjin people, and Dotogo, Dinka, Nuar, Atwat, Lutoka, and Ma-speaking people. The Nilotes constitute the majority of the population of South Sudan, an area that is believed to be their original point of dispersal. After the Bantu peoples, they constitute the second most numerous group of people inhabiting the African Great Lakes region of the East African Rift. So hopefully that answers your question as far as where Ham can be found today, some of the areas in which they can be found. All right. Was Joseph alive when Christ was being led to the cross and when on the cross? I notice he is not mentioned anywhere, but Mary is. And that's pretty much the case. There's not much mention about Joseph or concerning Joseph in those later accounts of Christ's life, okay, including that of his crucifixion. So to say whether he was alive or not, I cannot say because the Bible does not necessarily mention him around that time period. Okay? All right, we'll take one more question before we close out. We'll take one more question before we close out. Is Azazel the scapegoat in the story of Abraham and Isaac? Okay. Let's go to the story of Abraham and Isaac. Let's go to the story of Abraham and Isaac. Okay. Go to Genesis 22, and we're going to get straight to the point. Now, I'm going to start here in verse 1, and I'm going to jump around for the sake of getting straight to the point, basically. So it says, and it came to pass, one moment, let me do this here. All right, and let me fix this. All right, that's better. All right, and it came to pass, this is Genesis 22 and 1, and it came to pass after these things, let me fix it here as well, one moment. Let me fix it here as well. All right, there we go.